Welcome to the podcast, Just Saying. My name is Joe McCormick. I'm your host. And we are 3 weeks away from the release of Choir Works, my upcoming book, Making Silence the Secret Ingredient of the Workday. And this is a three-part series leading up to the release of the book called Q&A on Choir Works. And what I decided to do is to get you ready for this, the release of this book, is to break the book down into bite-sized pieces and go through some questions on each one of the chapters. So the first we'll tackle in this episode, we'll tackle part one. And this gives you a little bit of a taste test of what the book is about and really the promise of the book. And to remind you, if you're new to the podcast, this book completes a trilogy that took me 10 years to do. And I didn't design it like 10 years ago, I'm not going to write a trilogy. But in essence, what we have are three books that work together in a pretty powerful way to help you. 10 years ago, my career changed when I wrote Brief. Brief was a moment for me to pivot into not just doing consulting and marketing where I was helping people develop messaging that was clear and on point and compelling and all that, but to stop and start teaching people, you know, how to do that. So it was stop fishing and for them and teaching them how to fish. This is an analogy maybe. And that was pivotal for me because I know that, you know, Brief was not only released 10 years ago, but I started the Brief Lab as part of the Sheffield company. And that was a way to help create a standard for government leaders, for military leaders, for corporate leaders to speak in a very deliberate way. 5 years ago, I wrote Noise. When I wrote it, it was really around the environment that we communicate in and how difficult it is to focus, to communicate to people. When you're not being brief, you're probably creating noise, you're not creating clarity. And noise really is our enemy, because if we're creating noise for people, they can't think, they don't know what to do, they don't know where to go, and people do it all the time. There's a lot of noise, interruptions, devices, overwhelming amounts of information, the constant connectivity to information is the point of that book. And then Quiet Works, that's coming out in a few weeks, in 3 weeks actually, and that book is about really making silence the secret ingredient of the workday is the point, which is it's a missing part of the workday. And it's needed not just for wellness and for rest and for reflection, for sure, but it's needed because people need to think and plan and read and prepare alone before they collaborate together. And that's the point of Choir Works. So if you can have some time alone and quiet, you can be brief together and collaborate in a different way, in a much better way. And the combination of these books makes you an intentional communicator. This is why I've been doing the podcast for 8 years. And we keep on going. So let's do a Q&A here. And I'm going to walk you through bits and pieces. I really hope you buy the book. Go online, go to Amazon. I made an offer last week. I'll make it again. If you want a signed copy of the book, it's a pretty good deal. I'll send you a signed copy of the book. And if you like it, if you find it helpful, I would ask you to write a review. Now, with the caveat, if you do that, go online and buy the book from like an Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever. And then once you've bought it, you can write a review. I think you can write a review without buying it. But if you buy it, yeah, I think it's like there's a classification that you're a registered purchaser. And when you get your book, just give it to somebody. Just give it to somebody that you think could benefit from it. Because if you find the book beneficial, chances are somebody else will too. And that's how we paid for it. So that offer stands. So if you send an email to jmccormack@thebrieflab.com, it will get to me. I read my own emails and I will just send me a good address and I'll send the book your way, a signed copy. And we're ready to go. So, okay. So here's the Q&A on Choir Works, part one, three-part series. Okay. First chapter of the book is called The Lay of the Loud Land. It's the lay of the land, but it's not just any land, it's loud. And the question I have here is, why do people tend to view noise as normal in the modern work environment? And my answer to that is simply because that's what people for many, many years have associated with work, Work is just, I get a notification, I get an email, I get a message, a person interrupts me, like that, all this constant competing for my attention from all sides is just kind of how the workplace has become. And people don't look at noise as an enemy. They look at noise as sort of a reality. Instead of trying to fight it, defend against it, manage it, they just give in because it's just the way work is done. It's noisy. I'm doing a task, I'm working, and somebody interrupts me without preparation and they change my whole train of thought and now I'm doing a different thing. And what I do it to myself. So it's the workplace has become this way because people have given into it. Chapter 2 is talking about the workplace is sick and we are too. That's the title of it. So the question is why are some what are some examples of how noisy workplaces contribute to poor decision-making and reactive behavior? I would say there's a number of examples. I think a couple that come to mind right away are if you live in and work in a noisy workplace, first is you have constant last-minute changes. Everything is changing. It's like in sports, like you call a play, but then everything changes last minute. It's reactionary. Another one is that people say the least important thing first, and they say the most important thing last. When you're in a noisy place, it's like there's no priority of like what's more important than less. So what ends up happening is we end up talking a lot about the least important thing and not about the most important thing. And that creates more noise because there's a lot of least important things to talk about. I think another one is not having a clear plan. That your reaction, are you going to work is like, let's see what happens versus this is what's going to happen. And people feel like they're not in control, that gets out of control. Okay, on to chapter 3. Chapter 3 is titled TMI, TMC. So TMI is too much information, TMC is too much collaboration. So here's the question. Can you talk about how the balance between collaboration and concentration has shifted over the years? Absolutely. We used to have offices with doors. I remember going to an office in downtown Chicago not that long ago, and I had been going there for years. And unbeknownst to me, I asked this vice president at this bank, well, let's go to your office. And he looked at me and laughed. He's like, offices? We got rid of those a long time ago. I haven't had an office in a year. He goes, very, very few people in this company have an office. Said, where do we meet? He's like, wherever we can. It was like first come, first serve. You know, like we had nowhere to go because they got rid of all the offices. And why? Because the hope was, well, if you put everybody in the space, we'll have constant collaboration. And from all that collaboration and gathering, people will be able to come up with the next breakthrough idea. Another question is, what are the dangers of too much collaboration and how does quiet help prevent that? If you think of the workday right now is presently defined as from 9 to 5 or whenever you start, which could be the first thing in the morning when you wake up, to whenever you end, that whole thing is open for business, open for collaboration, available. It's the new definition of work. To work is to collaborate. To work is to be available. To work is to only can be done with connection to technology, connection to people, being available to being on. You can't ever say no. It's like you're always open. Work isn't just about collaboration. Work is also about being alone. And that's been missed because the design and the expectation has been you're always available. Chapter 4 is called Thoughtless Scattered Leaders Scare Us. Okay, in this chapter, the question is what advice would you give to a leader who struggles to balance constant communication with the need for quiet? And here's what I would like you to think about. When I ask people this question, when I teach courses and lead seminars and workshops and do keynotes, I ask the question, what's it like to work for a scattered leader? And the answers are immediate and powerful and really just like overwhelming, frustrating, annoying, unpredictable, exhausting, constant rework, don't know what to expect, changes of direction, and the list goes on and on. To work for a scattered leader, where if a person is constantly communicating and to work is to communicate, to work is to collaborate, the leader has no time alone to think. Well, if you have no time to think alone as a leader, you're going to be a scattered communicator. You can't help it. Why? Because your thinking is done while you're talking. To work is to work, is to think, to plan, to deliberate alone without distraction, to do the deep work, and then you communicate. Well, if you think that to be a leader is to talk all the time, you're going to be scattered and you're going to create chaos. You need time alone. Okay, let's pivot now to part two of the book. Part two is called Quiet Isn't What You Think. And there are three chapters in part two. Let's talk about chapter six. So chapter six is my turning point, how I realized quiet was the missing piece. So the question is, for this chapter, how did my own experiences lead me to write Quiet Works? What led me to write Quiet Works was while I was writing Noise. In chapter 14 of the book, Noise is called Quiet Time. And what I started to do was I started to experiment with doing quiet time every day for myself, because when I was writing the chapter, it was hypocritical. I was telling the reader to do something that I didn't do at all. It was not part of the workday. I didn't do quiet time. In fact, when I had it, I ran from it. So I started to do it. And that decision to pursue it and to work through it changed me as a professional. I started making quiet part of my day. And it was what was missing. I started getting inspirations. I started writing better. I started making better decisions. I was less anxious. I was more focused. I mean, it really was, in the beginning, it was difficult, but I learned a lot from it. So that was a process that happened over many months, but I started making it part of the day and it changed me as a professional. Ultimately leading me to write an essay called The Quiet Workplace and then getting this idea for the book and writing a book called Quiet Works. Chapter 7 is Words of Wisdom and why we run from quiet. And people see it like, I want quiet, I'd love that. But then when they get it, they run from it. Perfect example. When you're collaborating with a lot of people and you have a break in collaboration, what people do is they, instead of turn to concentration or quiet time alone, they turn to information consumption and they grab their phone. They start checking email. And so I had time for uninterrupted thinking, and now I just grab my phone and I start checking email. I'm not saying that's bad to check your email. I'm saying when you have a break, it's like I'm going to fill that with noise. Instead of filling it with quiet, I just check my phone and my phone tells me what to do in that break. And that pivot should have gone to quiet or could have gone to quiet, and it went to noise instead. So the question is why do you think so many professionals resist quiet time even though it can benefit them? I think a lot of people are afraid of it. I think of people being alone. People are so used to being interrupted, addicted to their phones, addicted to distractions, that it's just kind of the new normal, that once they see quiet, they don't know what to do with themselves. And the way I just really get people to think around this differently is the role of quiet in preparing what you are going to communicate. And we teach a method at the Brief Lab called Tower: think, outline, write, edit, rewrite. It's a five-step writing process. Well, of that five steps, three of them are quiet. Thinking, outlining, and editing are all quiet. Only two are writing. So the thinking part of writing is a quiet exercise. It's a practice. I gotta think about what I'm gonna write about or the conversations I'm gonna have. And people are afraid of it. And they get used to kind of thinking while they're communicating. And that's why. Chapter 8, Knowing What Quiet Is and Isn't. So here's the question. Why is it essential to treat quiet time as an appointment in the workplace? Quiet is seen as a technique. And it's not a technique. It's not how I do quiet. It's when I do it. And people, professionals, have appointments during the day. I have an appointment to meet with my boss, to meet with a client. I got a conference call. I've got appointments for collaboration. But where are your appointments for quiet time alone on your calendar? So when I say it's an appointment, not a technique, I mean set a time to do the things alone and quiet without distraction. And it's missing on the calendar. So those are my answers in this Q&A on Quiet Works. I've covered part one and part two. The offer still stands. Send me an email if you want me to send you a signed copy of the book, jmccormick@thebriefclub.com. And I hope you enjoy the book. Just saying.